one in every 10 Neos.
All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Hopefully I don't sound too different. I'm recording in a new location, a.k.a. sunroom with a space heater. It's 6 degrees behind me. Oh, no, it's 5 degrees now.
Well, we don't see your breath this time, so.
Yeah, so that's a definite improvement.
Yeah, I've been running the space heater for about an hour, so it's pretty good. My front is really warm, but my back is facing all of the glass wall, and it's really cold.
So, like, your farts will show.
They might. I might that have to, like, turn awesome. Myself midway through, so I'm completely baked.
Yeah, it's like halfway through. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Good.
So, anyways, well, I guess let's just go ahead and get started. I've got some follow-up on my Analog Pocket pre-order. Somehow, even though I was there within the minute that the pre-orders went up, I'm still in the second batch.
Ooh.
So, it is chilling until Q4. 2022, supposedly. And I know I said I was going to cancel, but now I'm like, I already paid.
Oh, they got you.
Money's so gone. Maybe I'll just hold on to it. What's it hurting?
You're paying for all the ones they're shipping now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the more, like after I purchased it and the more I looked at it, I was like, playing Game Boy Advance games on that thing are going to be really awesome.
Yeah.
Because of the screen, because I already have a way to play, like, you know, Game Boy Color games and the original Game Boy games with the backlight, because I have the mod, the screen mod, the LCD screen mod on my Game Boy. But I don't have any kind of backlight for my Game Boy Advance. And that's a little bit trickier of a mod, and it's going to cost me close to what the Analog Pocket costs anyway, so I figure I'm just gonna hold on to it.
It's gonna be like, you're gonna get a box that's gonna be like one of those VTech toys.
That would be
oh yeah.
That would suck so bad. I mean, that thing looks good, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, I mean, all of the reviews, because they did the pre-orders before, you know, they did pre-orders last April. So people are actually getting theirs from that original pre-order batch. And like,
is that when you ordered it?
No. So they originally did a pre-order last April when they launched it. They're like, hey, we've got this Analog Pocket. And then they're like, oh, it's going to come out in like June. It's going to come out in October. We don't know when it's going to come out. And they kept pushing it back, and people were bad-mouthing them on Reddit and getting all mad, as people do. And then finally, on December 13th, is when they were shipping that original batch. Then on December 14th, they said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to have like a moving queue. So starting on December 14th, you can order one. And we'll put you in line to receive yours. Kind of like what Panic did with the Playdate and what Steam did with the Steam Deck, right? It's not an open and closed pre-order window. You can still pre-order one right now if you want, but it's not going to come until 2023. You just get line in a queue. I don't know how I got into the second batch, because I was literally there like the second of, but the way that they did it is they put you in like a cart, and by the time I was finished with the cart, 8 minutes had passed. But they told me, like, when they put you in the cart, they're like, oh, well, you know, we've got your place in line now, you're good, so like, don't worry.
Yeah.
But it still took forever because I had to wait. Because I, you know, because it puts you in a queue, and then it's like, okay, it's your turn to check out. It's your turn to check out. So that way, their servers don't topple over, right?
How many did they have in that first batch? Did they say
5,000? I think.
Whoa.
Okay. See, there could that's where like you could get some weird issues, right? Where someone's trying to place an order, or maybe someone did get in, and so then they like, oh, okay, you did, and then they hooked them up, and then moved someone else, maybe, or.
You know, maybe it's just that popular. Because you could order two, right? I didn't, but you could have. And so that means 2,500 people, right, is the first batch, assuming everybody ordered two. I guess I should have been a jerk and ordered two and then put one on eBay for like $5 million.
You did the right thing, Ryan. I hate when people do that.
I know I did.
Yeah, thanks for not being a jerk.
But, yeah. So that's that. I'm going to hold on to it because it's not hurting anything. The money's already gone. Unlike Steam, the Analog took my money already.
Yeah, Steam's going to be a surprise bill.
Yeah, Adam and I were talking about that earlier because I'm in the first batch for that. So it's supposedly going to start shipping in February. And I was like, hey, Adam, did they bill us the whole amount for that? He's like, no, they only billed us like $50. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, it was like $5.50, $10, something like that. But I know for sure it wasn't.
It was barely anything because I think I did it too.
Yeah, it was $50, I believe. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it too for like the whatever batch. I think like the fall or winter or whatever it is. And so, yeah, it wasn't a ton at all.
Oh, so you pre-ordered one too, Ryan?
Yeah, remember, like, we were like, we had that talk, and I was like, yeah, I went back and forth, and I just friggin' did it after we recorded that episode that one night.
Oh, what quarter are you in, then?
I forget. I'd have to look through my email, see what it says.
He's in third quarter of the next decade.
Yeah, I'll get it when my kids are going off to college.
That's just let's see, I'm still Q2. Has that changed for you, Ryan?
Yeah, no, I'm Q1.
Ugh.
Yeah, so you and I were joking, I think, a couple weeks ago. You'll probably get yours in like June. Like, the earliest I think you can get yours is in, like, June, right?
I think so.
Because that's when summer start. I don't remember.
Well, no, it'd be, like, April, June would be Q. Q2 is April.
Yeah. But I'm assuming, like, I think worst case, mine I will get in April. Like, worst case. Best case, I get an email in February saying, hey, you ship your thing. Which, that'd be awesome for me right now because of the way that I've got my setup. I don't really have a space where I can play at the hours that I like to play. So having the Steam Deck would be really convenient. Come out here and freeze.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it comes as soon as possible. I'm hoping there's people that are like, yeah, maybe I'm not going to get it anymore or something, and then I'll move up in queue or something.
That's kind of what I was hoping for the Analog Pocket, too, is like, well, maybe I'll just hold on, because then maybe somebody will just be like, ah, never mind, and cancel it. Or, well, no, Analog already charged the money. I was going to say maybe somebody can't foot the bill. See, that's what you got to look forward to with the Steam Deck, is that $600 bill is going to come swinging around and somebody's going to be like, oh, no, I don't have enough money. And they're going to lose their spot, and then you're going to get kicked up to Q1.
Yeah, what about all those engraved names on them, you know?
Oh, you'll get one that says Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope it says Randy. That'd be the best.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it anyway. Randy handheld.
So yeah, this is first episode we're recording after all the holidays. Did y'all get anything cool for Christmas?
I mean, I already shared with you guys I got the 3D printer, but that was before Christmas. It was
yeah,
early.
So that was your
that was
your early Christmas present.
Yeah, other than some pajama pants, you know.
I mean, that's a cool gift, pajama pants.
What'd you get, Ryan?
I mean, I would say I'm going to cheat a little bit. So because my birthday is right before Christmas, I'm going to include some birthday gifts. So
hey, it's all fair.
That's right. Because, hey,
you know, if you celebrate Hanukkah gifts too, you know, like any holiday.
Whatever
gifts.
Holiday around that time, right?
That's
that
right.
We just came out of. Yes. Yeah, so I had, first of all, a Home Alone themed birthday party. So I had some little trinkets. Yeah, dude, it was awesome.
Did your wife just put paint cans around the basement stairs or something?
She made me go through all of the like traps. No, I'm just kidding. She beat
she's
the
like,
hell out of me.
She broke glass and put it on the floor. Yeah. Your feet are bleeding. She's like, "Happy birthday!"
Yeah. No.
You don't normally do themed birthday parties, still, do you?
No, she wanted it to be just like fun and like kitschy. Yeah. I mean, you guys don't? I mean, that's not the thing. I mean, princess birth? No, okay. No.
Power Rangers. They don't make outfits in my size.
Yeah. I'm so depressed.
That's funny. So they got me some Ghostbusters toys. So I got the new car from Afterlife. So that was fun because I had that a visceral memory of opening when I was a child, like the original Ecto one. Like it was really cool, like to get that. And then the Peter Venkman from Afterlife, the Plasma Series toy. So I got that as well. So it's really cool. So those were the cool birthday gifts. And then for Christmas, I got, of course, a puzzle. Adam, I know how much you just love puzzles.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was the National Lampoon's puzzle. And so it was like the house. And then the RV, like, and it was, you guys remember the painter Thomas Kinkade?
I know the name.
Yeah, so it's like the painter of light, where it's like all the light looks very real. And so it's the house, like, extremely bright and everything. So it's a funny puzzle. So we actually just put that together tonight. And, yeah.
Snow night.
So that was a good one. And then I got some, like, my wife basically got me some like organizational things, and as a 37-year-old man, those are very good things to have, like a stuff for my nightstand that organizes like keys, my wallet, you know, one of those, I forget what they're called, it's like a leather like tray basically.
Yeah,
it sits on, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so she got me one of those, and then some like accessories for the like bookends and stuff like that. So very practical on that side, but really good stuff.
You know, it's funny because with the 3D printer, that's basically the most exciting things I've been looking at as far as what I'm going to print is stuff to help me organize or hang up or
there you go. Yeah.
Gadgets. So that's pretty funny. But for the record,
Adam's gift is the gift that keeps on giving.
What? What is it?
Your printer. It prints.
Oh,
it
yeah.
keeps on giving.
Makes things, yeah. Like, where do you think he was going?
I don't know. Like, our normal humor. I thought he was getting ready.
You're right.
I thought that he was going a different direction there. But for the record, I do like puzzles. I just don't bring me to a party and say this is what we're doing for.
I know.
All right, Ryan.
So the thing I got that surprised me the most was I got a Seinfeld Lego idea set, and it's the set of Seinfeld. I put a link in the show notes there, Ryan.
Love it.
It's amazing. I haven't put it together yet, but it's got everything. It has a Festivus pole that comes with it, like all kinds of stuff. It's great.
Oh, that's amazing. I've seen that one, and I love it too. Like that's a good one.
Yeah, so I'm going to put that on my desk. I just have to put it together. I got a really cool picture of Stella, my dog. I got like a illustrated portrait of her. It's really cool. Nobody cares about that. Who's listening
to
the show?
I've seen that. I thought it was actually really neat.
Yeah, it was really cool.
We care as your friends.
Yeah. Stella's a French bulldog. Don't be like Lady Gaga and try to steal her, because I'll find you. You know, because people stole Lady Gaga's French Bulldogs, dude. That's so messed up.
I know. Who does that? Psychos.
Anyway, speaking of Ghostbusters, I got the original motion picture score book. So it has all the sheet music to the entire movie. And the reason I wanted it is because, you know, in the beginning of the movie, how they have that like eerie, almost theremin sound. So that is an instrument. It's like one of the first electronic instruments. It's called a Onde Martineau, I think. It's French. It's O-N-D-E-S. But I found a virtual instrument that is an Onde Martineau. And I have my little instrument mini controller. So I'm like damn determined to be able to play that intro, like
that's
eerie thing.
Cool, yeah.
And that was the only place that actually has the sheet music for the movie. So I was like, I must have this. Somebody please buy this for me. I got some other stuff too, but it's none of it's really ringing a bell.
You better get a toothbrush.
Didn't get a toothbrush.
No.
I got some socks.
I wish I got socks.
I did get, I showed this to you, Adam. I got, like, it's unofficial, but it's a game design analysis of Metroid, Metroid 2, Super Metroid, and Kid Icarus.
Yeah, you did send me a picture of that. That's actually a book I was looking to grab at one point in time.
Yeah, it's really cool because they take, like, screen grabs from the games and then talk about, like, different things. I've only read, like, the introduction of it. I haven't really got to get into it yet, but it's pretty cool. I'm excited to dig into that because I really like reading about, like, game design and things like that.
That's really cool.
That is neat. I think that's all of our toys.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's great. Well, Merry Christmas. Well, Kwanzaa. There was a thing you could say where it was all the holidays at once. Christmahana Kwanzaa, I think.
Eat a turducken.
You eat a turducken. That's right. Happy turducken.
Of course.
I'm glad you guys had a good holiday.
Yeah, you too. Hope everybody had good holidays.
You know, I'll go ahead and say, actually, I know this is off subject on it, but that's probably one of the better holidays I've had in a long time, actually. I was talking to one of my coworkers about that. You know, I've been on vacations and stuff this year, but for some reason, last week was like one of the best weeks I had out of the year. I guess it was productive. I got some good time with the family. It was chill.
Good.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of productive, how about this James Webb Telescope?
I love that. That transition is very good. Yeah, so NASA launched a successor to Hubble. They don't like to call it a replacement because it's different. I learned that. Because at first I thought, oh, this is just like a new Hubble, like, you know, replacing Hubble. But actually, and I'll put some links to this, whereas Hubble was mainly infrared and visible light as well as ultraviolet, the Webb telescope will be mainly infrared. And so it's like totally different wavelengths that it's going to be like focusing on in like what it's actually capable of. But it is like a way much larger mirror, so it can, you know, see better and further and all that good stuff. And yeah, so they launched it, was it last week? What, almost 2 weeks ago now.
Wasn't this like crazy expensive? Wouldn't that one
I'm sure
there was like something I seen.
They've been working on it for like 30 years, 20, 30 years or something.
Yeah, it was $10 billion.
Yeah, that's
so not too bad, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, over that time period, right? But the problem was the original cost was estimated to be $1 billion. So a little bit over.
That's inflation.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, over 30 years, maybe. No. Yeah, so it's on its way. It's like a month-long process of actually getting to where they want it. Right now it's about to open its primary mirror. It's already gotten its sun shield and secondary mirror, opens its primary mirror. We'll have a link to the tracking thing too. But yeah, I think this is cool. I think this is the kind of stuff that you know, it's not a billionaire. This is for me, just my opinion. This isn't a billionaire going up into space and having a like joyride. Like this is actual like, hey, we're gonna explore the cosmos and
cut to the picture of Jeff Bezos with that like model or whoever.
That's his girlfriend at the disco party.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Exactly.
His pants like, couldn't have been any tighter.
Oh, they could have. They were painted on. Yeah, so I think this is cool. Like this is way more the kind of space exploration that I like to read about and see. Is this like the rovers? Like this is good stuff, right? Like this is stuff that you know, we'll be using in history books and education and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Something more looking out versus in.
Yep.
Speaking of looking in or out, I think we all saw The Matrix Resurrections?
Yes, Resurrections.
Resurrection. Yeah.
I liked it. I think my main...
I was like, what's the hesitation here?
Well, wait, did you watch it, Ryan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was really excited to see another Matrix movie because I really like Keanu Reeves and I love The Matrix. It's my second favorite movie, second to Ghostbusters. But Ghostbusters, the way that I've kind of like been thinking about it in my head is Ghostbusters did everything perfectly, like Afterlife, as far as like, let's make a new movie after an extended period of time and try to continue the story. That's the same kind of thing that they tried to do with The Matrix. And The Matrix is good, but it wasn't anything close to Ghostbusters Afterlife. That movie was fantastic. My favorite part of The Matrix, the spoilers, by the way, Resurrections was the first third where Keanu Reeves is sitting there not knowing what is real, if he's crazy, what's not real. And I would have really liked to see just an entire movie of that. Like, don't take us into the real world yet. Do it like, I guess they do. I haven't timed it, but it's probably like the first 30 to 40% of the original Matrix before we see the Nebuchadnezzar and he gets pulled out.
Yeah, it's quite, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's 50%. It may be longer, but I don't think it's too long.
No, I don't think it's too long.
So maybe they were trying to do a similar thing, but I don't know. I just, every time the Matrix movies, when they go to the real world, I'm like, I don't care. Because it's always like, you know, burnt out caves and like, just, I don't know. The scenes in this movie with the machine cities were beautiful. I mean, of course there was CG, but they were beautiful. They looked like concept art. Like they just looked straight up like concept art. And I thought that they were great. But anytime they go to any of the human cities, I hate that. I just thought that I'm just kind of rambling here and I'll just say all my like opening thoughts and then you all can, you know, we can talk about it. But the machine cities were beautiful. I loved when Neo doesn't know what's going on and he's taking blue pills to basically stay in the Matrix because he wants to get out, which by the way, Prozac is a blue pill, which I kind of find that interesting. Or at least one version of Prozac is. And shoot, I was going to say one last thing. Oh, what I hated the most was the stupid machine pet friends. Like, what were the point of those? Like, I guess because they had like a little Twiggy robot and he's like, yeah, fist bump. Yeah. And I'm like, get the hell out of here. Like, it was really, I don't know, it was really cheesy. I guess the only reason they did that is so that they could, like, introduce the one, like, Manta Ray machine character that was, like, helping them infiltrate. But I don't know. I felt like you could have done it a different way.
It felt like Michael Bay, you know what I mean? Like, Transformers when they added in
the the machines.
Yeah.
Like they did thing. Like the anthropomorphic machines and stuff. Yeah. That's my basic like thoughts, opening thoughts at least for that. The only other thing that kind of was like iffy for me was the like I'm a program, but I'm using some kind of like magnetic balls to be in the physical world. I was like, okay, but that was fine. Like I didn't really care. The machine friends bothered me because it was like, hey, we've got buddies now. And I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know. It didn't fit the tone of the movie to me.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan? I'll go last.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I loved the first part too. I thought it was interesting because it kept you guessing. Like, because you had no idea, like, okay, what is actually happening here? And I thought that was cool because in the previews, you're like, oh man, it's this, it's this, it's this. And then you're like, oh, okay, kind of, right? And then I loved, I'm blanking on his name, Doogie Howser.
The analyst.
Yes, the analyst, right? That character was great. I thought that, like, and the acting was incredible. I thought he played just a good, what felt like you didn't know if he was friend or foe for quite some time. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. What's interesting is the review that I read for the movie. That was the part that they hated the most. They were like, he can't act. His character is one dimensional. Come on. Yeah. Really? They were like just destroying him. Whatever. And I was like, I thought he was fine.
I guess it depends on who's writing the review. I typically disagree with most critics anyway, because I can find the good in most any movie.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, because I take it for what it is, not like, you know, anyway, I'm not too critical on those things. But with that, like, yeah, I agree. I've never liked the whole like human cities either. On that point for you, like, same thing, like, whatever. I get you have to show it, right? Because it's the real world, quote unquote, but it's not as engaging as when they're in the Matrix fighting things and like doing all, like, oh my gosh, that scene with just everyone gets turned into an agent. Like,
oh, the swarm.
Yeah, the swarm mode that happens is amazing. Like jumping off building, like I thought that was just insane and like so much action.
That actually disturbed me a little bit when, well, like, there was like mass suicide basically and everybody was jumping out of the buildings.
Yeah, if you take away like the whole...
It reminded me, that scene reminded me of the movie The Happening.
So I never saw that one.
Yeah, nobody...
Though, yeah.
And people hated that movie, but I actually really liked that movie. But yeah, people start just like killing themselves and stuff is kind of intense. I actually did not like the swarm thing because I was like, are we in a zombie movie now? Like,
well, okay, I guess if you're looking at it like that,
but yeah, because sure. It was like, oh yeah, everybody's zombies, they're gonna get us. And I don't know.
No, I just liked it because
if action. You liked it, that's great.
That's what I liked about the original Matrix movie was the action sequences, and I thought it was like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like that evolution of just like nonstop action. How in the world are they going to get out of this?
I'm glad you said that. There's something that I forgot. The fighting in this movie was not as good as the original. The kung fu choreography was not as good. I don't know if it wasn't the choreography or the cinematography of that.
Like
but
the feel, maybe?
Yes, it did not have the same like impact and rhythm that the original did. This was more of just like fighting and not like wire fighting, like traditional kung fu movies. And I did not like that. I did not like that it wasn't the same.
Yeah, I definitely don't remember, like, no scene except for, like, when the new Morpheus guy is, like, when they're in that training area, right? Like, that was the only one that was like, okay, cool, like, this is a good callback to the original. But even then,
it was not even close. Like, if you compare those two scenes from the original movie and this movie, there was such a... I don't know. I didn't really pay attention. Maybe they didn't play any of the kung fu, like whip punch sounds, you know, like the whoosh, whoosh, you know?
Yeah. I think you're right though. It just, that stuff was so engaging in the first one. Like it didn't grab me in this one, even in, you know, basically the first three, right? Like those, the kung fu fight scenes felt more like a Japanese kung fu movie or something where,
that's not Japanese.
I apologize. Kung fu, period. Adam.
So several things actually with this movie. I would say that I thought it was all right. Did I really think it was good? I thought it was all right. At best, I thought it was all right. I would agree that I did like the first part where he was losing sanity, it seemed like. And I actually would have been all right if the whole movie went the entire way of maybe even figuring out the Matrix was never really a real thing, that it was all in his head. I actually would have been okay with that.
That's what you thought was going on, because we saw the movie together and you were like, is the Matrix not even real? Like, what is going on? Yeah. And I was like, no.
I was actually, would that have been something? Yeah, I was actually thinking, like, hey, they may actually take this like a Stephen King kind of thing, you know? But he was nuts the whole time. And he's
whole time.
Yeah. And leave it open ended at the end of whether or not, hey, was it really real? Like Shutter Island thing, you know? This is the top falling.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That would be a good twist, a Shutter Island style twist.
Dude, but hold on. Do you know how I know that you're supposed to be telling us the rest of your thoughts, but do you realize how pissed off people would be?
Oh yeah.
If they were like, yeah, there's no such thing as the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh man. It's like Jar Jar Binks times 1,000.
Yeah. Dude, they've done this kind of thing forever. Remember that show St. Elsewhere or whatever? Turned out to be like that kid's snow globe the whole time. That kind of stuff. Like you invest all these years. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a little different, but
I don't know. I think there was a lot of, to me, this was one of the cornier Matrix movies. There was a lot of things that I just thought was cheesy that happened. And I'll say this. I actually respected a little bit more of the choreography fighting in this because there was less incentive on CGI fighting and more on hand-to-hand. And I can enjoy more hand-to-hand combat, especially if it's closer to real combat.
The original movie was... The original movie wasn't a whole lot of CGI. It wasn't any CGI. It was just wire fighting.
There was a lot of Crouching Tiger style people.
Yeah, floating. Kung Fu. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say kung fu, more of like they were floaty, very floaty. But it's there's that scene where they're fighting Smith when he finally shows up, but the entire time the French dude's bitching. I was just like, really?
Oh, the Merovingian.
Yeah, like
I loved that scene because the Merovingian was the most annoying character in the original trilogy, and he was like so refined and such like a high class person, and now he's like a crazy homeless dude because he got exiled from the Matrix.
I don't know.
Or he was supposed to be exiled.
I thought him being there as the hobo was funny. Don't get me wrong. I thought that was good. But him bitching the whole time while they're trying to fight and all that, I was just kind of like, this is kind of corny to me. It takes away from like the gravity of what's going on here. And I think
that was the point. But
I mean, I know that like there's probably intended cheese to some of this stuff, but I just wasn't feeling it. I really wasn't. I think there was so much that was happening in that movie. And I forget what the actress's name is, who used to be the pilot of the ship in the third movie, who is now the old woman who was leading the tribe.
Naomi is her character.
She was not doing a great actress.
Jada Pinkett Smith, isn't it?
Or is it Halle Berry?
No, it's not Halle Berry. It's Jada Pinkett Smith.
She wasn't doing a great job of acting like an old woman. I wouldn't buy any of that.
Like, I mean, she's supposed to be like 90 or something in this thing. So
yeah, like I was not buying any of that.
Yeah, she was supposed to be an extra 40 years older 60. Than she. No. But in the Matrix, so the Matrix itself, like inside the Matrix in this movie, it was supposed to be real time, 20 years in the future. But I thought it was actually 60 years, so it would have been 40, right? She would have been supposed to be playing an additional 40 years older than she currently is.
Yeah.
Because it's been 20 years since the original Matrix.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I just wasn't buying any of the actors or actresses really, other than Keanu and the chick who plays Trinity. Like
Carrie Moss.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Everyone else, I was just kind of like,
Yeah, they were fantastic. I watched a bunch of interviews with them, and like they have like a really good like chemistry together, like even off camera.
Dude, when she flew, can we just say that was awesome? Like when she like grabbed him. Okay,
I thought that was corny too.
Oh no, I thought that was okay. So here's the thing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk about this part. I'm glad you brought that up because it's been a while since I saw it. I saw it the day it came out, and I have a terrible memory, so I forget things. But I really liked the fact, and I said this to Adam after the movie, I liked the fact that they were like, okay, Trinity can be like super powerful too. She's a strong woman. They tried to play that up, right? Like, oh, she's just a mom now. Like in the Matrix, the analyst made her a mom. But no, she's actually a strong woman. And so she's going to have like these powers. But they did all that in like the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Yes.
I didn't like that with any of it other than I just thought the flying part was corny.
I thought it was really cheesy too.
Yeah. But remember, like the whole point is like them together is like the powerful element, right? Like it's not just Neo. And so I think it's like the culmination of that idea of them together are what like changes things.
Yeah, but okay.
But why did they have to make him impotent?
Well, I don't think he was impotent. I think
he couldn't fly.
Well,
he tried to. He's like, no, it's not gonna happen.
Well, one in every 10 men, right?
He couldn't get it up.
Yeah, it's the thing is like
one in every 10. Did you say? Yeah. One in every 10 Neos.
The thing is like, how is it that Superman, I don't know, Wonder Woman, Iron Man, how is it that
Captain Marvel?
All these characters look cool when they're flying, but for some reason, they never freaking looked cool. Neo never looked cool when he was flying in the original trilogy, and it definitely didn't look cool.
Oh, begged to differ.
No, man, I thought it was corny.
The first time he flew was awesome.
At the end of the movie, yeah, when they're playing some Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, like it was like that top-down view, right?
Yeah, and then he just shoots up. Yeah. He just shoots up, and his trench coat is flapping and you hear it.
You can't talk about the CGI. You can't talk about it. It was too long ago.
Adam has a vendetta against CGI.
I do have a lot of problems with CGI.
CGI.
Are they going to make him really fly? Like tie a rocket to his butt? Like,
okay. Hold on. I'm going to stop both of you right there. They actually jumped off that building when they filmed that movie. Both of them actually, yes, both of them actually jumped off that building multiple times. So that was real.
They should have done something about them flying out of that house then, because that looked corny.
Flying out of what house?
That's where they flew together when they left. Neil Patrick Harris's place.
And when she broke his jaw, like, come on.
That was all cool. That was cool. Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Everything else with that.
Adam wants his jaw to be broken in real life.
he really hates Neil
Patrick
Harris.
I want you to rip off Neil Patrick Harris.
No, I actually really like Neil Patrick Harris, actually. But
I mean, everybody loves Neil Patrick Harris. He's awesome.
You can't hate that guy. Like, yeah, he's great. It's impossible.
But I don't. The CGI stuff, whenever it does look fake, it immediately departs something in my brain. And I'm just like, no.
I understand.
And that's what you look at these characters who fly, who are CGI in like the Marvel universe, for some reason, I guess because the details on their costumes versus someone wearing a black trench coat, it looks a little bit more, I don't know, in character. And then them two flying in the trench coats, it just looks corny to me. I don't know. And what
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's budget.
That I was just going to say, it's money. Yep.
I guarantee you they spent way more time doing the effects on the Avengers than they did on the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because you guys say this in that part where Neo does like the slow-mo to like wrap around and then jump up really quick and go fly in the older movies. It reminds me of, you remember the really like bad Fantastic Four movie with the stretchy Mr. Fantastic? Yeah. And he does like that spiral thing up into the sky. It looks so corny and bad, and then went back down. That's what it makes me think of every time.
I didn't see that movie.
Look, just because the CGI for humans at that time was very rubbery, right? Like, people looked very plastic.
The lighting, everything, all of it.
Yeah. It's gotten better, but again, you have to pay for that, like, if you want. I still think it's awesome that she flew.
Yeah, Adam, there was a couple times, actually, in the Kung Fu scene. Where they're fighting in the dojo, him and Morpheus Smith or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
There was a part in that where I think Morpheus does a flip of some sort, or maybe it was Neo. But when it was done, I could tell that, like, for whatever reason, the actual flip was real, but then I guess the timing of it didn't work, and you can kind of see it move, like they moved it in CG, and I was like, it reminded me of Yoda, like when Yoda's going buck wild in the prequels. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
That's funny. The worst thing ever. Yeah. They should never have done that.
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic.
That's just it. Is like, there's two things that I've noticed, and we're about to talk about Boba Fett, right? Are we still going to talk about that?
Yeah.
Because there's one thing that goes with all the movies I see anymore that kind of relates to even what happens in Boba Fett. When it comes to choreographic fighting, if it's slow pace or CGI, it turns me off real quick. If I feel like people are like, you know, and it just seems not... Like, I mean, like, they're really...
I'm using that as the blooper.
You have such good winners.
But you get my point. And, like, I guess I just really get invested to this more intense, you know, it feels like, hey, if I was actually fighting with someone, this is more what it would be like, not like dodge.
What's the combination? Yeah, I think it's the combination of the, like, sped up with moments of slowness where it, like, you know, snaps you into place.
Sometimes, like, when there's slow choreographed fighting, it could also just be the fault of the cinematographer that they don't have, or the editor, that the editing isn't made well to show that. Because most of the time, like in movies, when they choreograph fights, it's not always like true speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it feel, you know, an intense fight scene versus a kind of a kind of chill. Like it should be more intense, but it's not. But there is another thing actually I hated about The Matrix was the part where Neil Patrick Harris first reveals himself and does the slow-mo fast move stuff, but it looked really, really cheap through the whole thing. I hated it.
With the bullet?
Yeah, that whole time. Yeah, everything about it.
Yeah, it looked awful.
Yeah, it was like,
yeah,
what
it
the
did
hell?
Look really bad.
Yeah.
So I like I'll say I liked this tech, right? I liked the tech that they did. Then they used it in Encanto, if you guys have seen that. The way that they did the slow motion, where it's like elements are in real like time and the other elements are in slow motion, but you can't tell, unlike the way it used to be. Like that tech has come a long way. I like that. I didn't like their implementation, like in the Matrix.
Yeah, I think the effect's cool too, but
it looked
I think the big problem, Adam, was the bullet. If the bullet was not in that scene, I think the rest of that scene would have been fine.
His physical movement, I didn't like it either.
Oh, okay.
I guess, and this is more personal just on me, like in movies where they do that weird blur motion thing sometimes, it looks like a cheap animation of trying to cut scene or show a weariness. It's a very cheap measure, in my opinion, but I guess that's my thing, is whenever you get into these big budget movies, I expect something that seems more of a AAA style effect versus a low budget effect getting pushed into it.
Meanwhile, the guy that did that effect's like, man, we spent 20 grand.
Yeah.
Oh, they spent more than that.
Yeah. The studio ripped us off. No.
Well, I guess in closing, what I'll say is I like the movie because I'm such a huge fan of The Matrix and Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss for that matter. I thought it was good. I wish the whole movie was that first part. It would have been amazing if that was the whole movie. That said,
I wish they would have Ghostbustered it.
Yeah. Well, so, and that's what I was going to get to is, I hope they just leave The Matrix alone at this point. Like, because with this movie, like it was okay. I don't have faith that they can recreate the amazingness that the first movie had. And that's exactly what they did with Ghostbusters Afterlife. And so I'm excited and I hope they come out with new Ghostbusters movies with the kids mainly as a focus. Because I think that they handled that really well. And unfortunately, I don't know. I don't think they did it very well with The Matrix. Like I said, first third was amazing. The rest of the movie I could have done without.
So then Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
The
Book of Boba Fett. Why don't you go ahead, Adam, because you kind of alluded to some things in this that you didn't like that were similar to The Matrix.
Yeah. And full disclaimer, I really like the character Boba Fett. Always have for a really long time. It's always been, you know, I'm one of the people that, in Star Wars, Boba Fett, you know, even though there really wasn't much of a story to him, I always enjoyed that character design a lot. And I was interested for a really long time to see what they could do with him. So when he did show up in Mandalorian, I thought it was great. Seeing these two episodes, I like and I dislike a lot. And I'm probably a little too hard on some things when it comes to the effects and just not chilling out and enjoying a little bit more of the show. But maybe it's just because what I like to do for my hobby is what really bleeds into that. But either way, I digress. I think the flashbacks and stuff that they're going through, not as interesting as I would like them to be. I know Ryan and I talked about this yesterday or something, but the thing is like Boba Fett doesn't have a whole lot of story, but it seems like from his childhood to where he made it to the Sarlacc pit was the most interesting parts that they could have built some stories into and really built out what was all going on during those times. And even if they did things like Vader giving him the commands to bounty hunt Luke, and you know, like there's so much they could have dug into in that, but instead they focus on the Sarlacc pit on as of right now. Maybe they'll show more, because they do show quick flashbacks of the clone facility and picking up his dad's helmet after being chopped. So I'm hoping they focus more on that. But there's also a lot of story that they seem like they're trying to do with, you know, what's happening now in the present, but they're not really giving a whole lot yet on it either. Granted, this is the first two episodes, and I'm not saying that I dislike it. I'm just not saying that I'm like really enjoying it. In the combat is, especially in the second episode where they get surrounded by everybody with the shields and they're just stuck in the middle in that little pit, it felt really like sluggish. It didn't feel like there really was much happening on it. Like they kind of pitted themselves where they couldn't be inventive with the fight in itself. But I don't know. I'm hopeful that it will continue to be a better series like the other ones. They all get midway through it and then it gets a little juicy and things happen. So I'll keep watching by all means. But that's my opinion. I'm a 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. The first two episodes. I love the flashbacks, and I get disappointed when we're at like the current time, because I like to see. And I think what we had said before, or what I said to you, Adam, when we were talking previously, is like they are developing the character, so that's why they keep going back. Maybe while you were talking, I just had the thought, because they have shown him as a child a couple times. Maybe they'll continue to do that so we can see some more things. But I don't think that's really going to happen too much, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, they're paying, I don't know the guy's name, the actor that's playing him. I think he's the person that's going to be featured and not the kid that's playing him. You know what I mean? But maybe, or maybe they do a spinoff where it's like baby Fett. And it's him when he was a kid.
Well, they don't necessarily have to focus more of the kid, but it definitely is. I would like to see some stuff where he was the actual bounty hunter and he had to work for Jabba the Hutt, and, you know, the stuff that happened with Vader. I think there's so much they could really give him.
But we saw all that in the movies.
You only get to see him once or twice. You don't really get to see anything of him.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. You want to see him like flying his ship around in space with Han Solo in the back?
I want to see where his thought process was of getting that armor. I know that there's books and people try to make up different stories, but I'd like to see what happens between the Mandalorians and their religion and things of that, and how that's separated from him and his father.
Well, that's his dad's armor.
Yeah, it's like a repainted, I guess, isn't it? Or did he recreate it? I thought he recreated his armor altogether.
No, I think that's his dad's armor, because he dies in the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah.
Then Jango Fett died in the Clone Wars, and so he just takes his armor.
Well, I thought there was more to that. Maybe not.
I'm on Wikipedia here. Boba was created on the extragalactic planet of Kamino as a result of arrangement between Darth Tyrannus and Jango Fett. Jango Fett, a Mandalorian foundling who served as the template of the Grand Army of the Republic. Unlike the clone troopers grown from Jango's DNA, Jango regarded Boba as his son. Boba and Jango retreated to Geonosis, where the latter was killed in battle by Mace Windu. Orphaned by Jango's death, Boba sought vengeance by attempting to assassinate Windu, although his plan proved unsuccessful. After serving time in prison on Coruscant, Fett took up his late father's profession as a bounty hunter.
See, but none of that's in the movies, and none of that's explained. That's all side story stuff.
Maybe. I wonder if, I wonder if that's in the Clone Wars TV show.
Could be. Yeah, maybe I'm missing a part of what they've done.
I have not finished that because it's so dang long. It's like 7 or 8 seasons of that thing.
Yeah, so maybe I'm complaining about something they've already done and they're just picking up the pieces and moving on and I'm just dwindling out because I didn't see it in the cinematic side.
Oh, yep. It's totally in Clone Wars.
Aww.
Clone Wars Season 2. Yep. Guess you gotta watch Clone Wars, Adam. You can say Moody Fett.
Moody Fett.
Teen Angst Fett. Anyway, back to diversion there. I liked it so far. I think the CG looks a little better, at least than the first like weird episodes of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I will say that I've been watching it on my iPad while I've been working out of my row machine, so I can't say for sure it's the best display I have, but it's not very big. But I think it looks really good. I like how they're making him a character of his word.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a ruthless killer. He will if he has to, but he does what he says and he's fair about things. So like the sand people, I thought was really cool. Like in the second episode where you know, he's been captured by the sand people, it's in his flashbacks, but he starts to, you know, see their ways and they see that he's a strong warrior. So they teach him some things because they have respect for him. What are you laughing about, Adam?
It's going to be like The Last Samurai.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I know. That's a Tom Cruise movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I like seeing them train him, and then he goes and, you know, helps them to stop getting like beat up and killed by the traitors that are coming through with their like high powered train and stuff. I don't know.
You did mention one thing that was in that show that I did like. I liked the part where he basically pointed out that he's not going to be paraded around like the, you know, the huts where, you know, he's going to walk in his own 2 feet, be strong. You know, there was a lot to that I thought that was cool for the character. But what is he trying to heal from?
Yeah. That's my question too. Like, he's got all kinds of burn scar looking things on him.
Wasn't a lot of that from when he was eaten by the monster?
So I don't know if that's from the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. So that's what I'm...
Because
maybe
when
it's
he
like
gets...
a combo of like other stuff that's happened to him over time.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I couldn't remember what happened in Mandalorian with him, if he got hurt or if that just...
Not really. I mean, I think a little bit, but he was never like, he looks like he has burns and
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's like some really bad scarring for sure.
Yeah. I forget what they call it. I've got one of those types of scars. It's like cardioid or I don't know.
It's all cellular.
Really bad. Yeah. Nasty scars. So yeah, I'm not sure what he's trying to heal from either. I think in the second episode, doesn't he get shot by something or he gets beat up pretty bad? Yeah, and then he has the green pig boys take him to the back to tank, which I like that they brought them back and they're like, they just do whatever he wants because they just serve their master.
Yeah, I did think it was funny.
They're like the perfect goons.
I like whenever they stole his armor and they basically left him in his underwear. I was like, oh, cool. He's just left in his onesie.
Oh, yeah. His white, yeah, that his thing, white mechanic suit. Like, yeah.
Marches into that bar and just like kicking ass like the biker gang.
Yeah, drops a drink.
And gets oh, out. Yeah. The second yeah, episode. Just, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, yeah, I like it so far. The first episode was okay. I felt like it was slow, but I guess, you know, setting up the story and where things are going was fine. But yeah, I was definitely more into the second episode. Yeah, it's good. I think to Adam's point, like, yeah, hopefully they show some more flashbacks because those are really good. More on like, you know, different time periods, but then like, how long are they going to take this? Like, is this just going to be like a two season thing, a one season thing? How much can they actually fill in, you know?
Yeah. I actually didn't see if they posted how many episodes this was going to be.
I haven't looked either. I don't know. It's 4 degrees outside now.
Hmm. You do have dusty farts.
Dusty.
That's his musician name, Dusty Farts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes. However many there are, it's hard to compare them, but I think so far. I kind of like the Book of Boba Fett more than the Mandalorian, only because they show his face. And so we're able to get more expression and connection to him as a character.
You know, I kind of feel that and I kind of don't. I think it kind of led way to build in some of that emotion and kind of that religion and where they were going with it. But I don't know. I'd like to see them do a better episode than, what was it, in season 2 where Ahsoka was there and they had the very, like, where they were infiltrating very good, like, Japanese-style film, almost. Like, that to me was, like, one of the coolest episodes.
I loved that episode. Yeah. Yeah.
The tone, the lighting, everything. I thought that was really cool. I hope they do something as good.
Did you watch any of the Star Wars shorts? What were those called?
No.
They were all Japanese anime.
Honestly, to tell you the truth, when it comes to Star Wars, outside of the films, Mandalorian and Boba is really the only things I've truly reached out on. I never really got into watching Rebels or Clone Wars or all that. As much as I enjoy some of the lore on it, I just couldn't really get engaged with them. Not that I have any problems with anime or cartoon stuff. I do like that stuff.
You should check out Star Wars Visions. That's what it's called. It's a series of shorts. There's only 9 of them. They're not connected. It's an anthology series, but Disney went to different Japanese anime studios and asked them to do Star Wars story. Some of them are kind of goofy because they're more like modern, like anime style, mm-hmm. But other ones are kind of like traditional, Japanese like samurai, mm-hmm. But lightsabers. It's very cool.
Yeah, that sounds interesting to me. That's stuff that I could enjoy.
But I'd say out of the 9 episodes, I'd say about 7 or 8 of them are really good. So I recommend them. They're really cool. I'm a big anime fan. There was episode 8 I did not like at all. And Or no, episode 3. Episode 3 was dumb, and that's about it.
Well, that's the thing, is that I'm waiting to see a Boba Fett episode that's just really intense, that puts some sort of emotion into the character, because right now I don't really have any emotion for him.
Well, he went into a couple tents when he was with the Sand People.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't really feeling any emotion towards him. Like, oh, that sucks. You know what I mean? There's like, there wasn't a whole lot. It just kind of felt meh and what was going on.
Well, in the flashbacks, you know he's not going to die, so.
Yeah. And maybe that's my thing. I don't want to keep dragging on too much here, but when it comes to movies, shows, video games, books, if I don't feel an actual connection, emotion, or something of that nature, it's a failed piece of entertainment for me. That's what gets me with entertainment. I have to emotionally feel something that's heavy or hilarious, whatever. There has to be some sort of engagement that I have to feel out of it. Otherwise, it's just like, why am I here?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I do too. I guess I do feel the emotional attachment to him. Because for me, like, I can relate to him being like a person of his word. You know what I mean? He's like, and he's fair, you know, he treats people with respect. They treat him with respect. So I don't know, but yeah, I get it. Ron, closing thoughts.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. I'm excited to see where it goes. No, nothing like crazy, but yeah, it's enjoyable so far.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for this week's episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Nice. Thanks for listening. Go to diversion.fm to subscribe and listen weekly in your podcast player of choice. If you like the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again, and see you next week.